Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Daf Yudalid, which really we're up to the middle of a conversation that had started on Daf Yudgimel. Remember in our Mishnah, there was a dispute between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. If somebody finds a shtar chov, a promissory note, does he return it? Rabbi Meir says it depends what's in the promissory note. A promissory note with a lien in it does not get returned, because that could lead the buyer of fields to lose fields that he really shouldn't be losing. But a promissory note with no note on it could be, with no lien on it, could be returned. And the Chachamim say that even a promissory note with no lien on it cannot be returned. And the simple way of understanding this Mishnah is that they're arguing about whether or not a promissory note with no lien still has, with no lien written in it, still has the status of being able to collect a lien. So the Gemara had quoted different explanations for what was the case in the dispute of the Mishnah. We talked about a case where he found the promissory note and the lender is agreeing, he's conceding that he owes the money. Or we're talking in a case where he found the promissory note and the borrower is conceding that he owes the money, and the borrower is claiming that he doesn't owe the money. So finally, the Gemara quoted a brisa, which the Gemara said is going to be a source of one question on Rabbi Elazar, and two questions on Shmuel. So the Gemara says, it's one question on Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar had said, the argument was, when the borrower is not conceding that he owes money, and here the Braisa is against that. So that's a question on Rabbi Elazar. And now the Gemara says, to Yufta de Shmuel Batarti. This Braisa disproves Shmuel on two counts. Again, on Yudalim and Aleph, three lines down. Chaduk Rabbi Elazar, first of all, the same question we had on Rabbi Elazar. Taha Muki Masnizim Mishain Chayav Moda. He says that the case of the Mishnah is when the borrower is not conceding. And the Braisa says that even when the borrower concedes, there's an argument. Chadan, a second problem with Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, we know Shmuel says, Matzah Shtarak Na Bashuk. If a person found a promissory note in the street that has in it an acquisition, namely, that the borrower said, the lien starts from the time of this note, even before I get the money, regardless of whether I get the money or not, I'm creating the lien to this man, to the lender. Then Yachzul Abaylim, then you return the note to its owner, namely to the lender. In other words, that we say, Lo Chayshina on the Piron. We're not worried, oh, maybe the borrower really paid off the loan and he's made a deal with the lender to claim that he doesn't have any money and he hasn't paid off the loan, so that the lender will be able to steal land from buyers who really are entitled to the land, and then they'll divide it. We're not worried about that. So to Yufta, this Braisa disproves that idea. This Braisa disproves those who would claim that we're not worried about collusion. To Ketani Yachik, as the Braisa said, Afal Pisha Shneim Modim, even in a case where both agree that the loan is still extant and that the borrower owes money to the lender, Lo Yachzir, Lo Lezev, Lo Lezet, he shouldn't return the document, the note, neither to the lender, nor to the borrower. Why wouldn't we give it back? If the borrower admits that he owes money, why wouldn't we give the document back to the lender? What could be wrong? Apparently, chayshin lepiron, because we're worried that maybe there's collusion. So that's why you don't want to give it back to the lender, because maybe the lender then will be able to take from buyers who he shouldn't be entitled to take. So if we're worried about collusion, even in a case where they agree to that there's still a loan, the koshkein hacha. And certainly here, where they both, where they're not, where there's even agreement, the lo moda lo vet, where the borrower doesn't even admit because he's not in front of us, the chayshin al piron, We should be worried that maybe there was a collusion, maybe it was all paid off. And therefore is going to be an illicit collection. So clearly Shmuel is disproven.
So Rabbi, what he should do with the document?
He waits.
He can't give it to the land? Oh, I have
he
to
waits
wait.
With it.
Okay, I'll wait.
He waits with it. Okay, so going back to the Mishnah. Again, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if a person finds a loan document, so according to Rabbi Meir, it depends what's in the loan document. If in the loan document there's written that there is a lien on the borrower, that the borrower needs to pay, and if he doesn't pay, his land will be seized. So then Rabbi Meir says, don't return that loan document to the lender, because we're worried that a buyer might lose out when he shouldn't be losing out. But if the loan document doesn't have a lien in it, then you can return it to the lender. Why? It's a simple explanation. Because now the buyers are not going to lose out anyway. Since there's no lien in the document, a buyer who bought land is not going to lose his land from this document. However, the Chacham say, whether there is a lien in it or there isn't a lien in it, you cannot return it once it was found on the street. As we've said, what was it doing falling on the street? Must be there's something wrong with it. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, my time of the Rabbanan. What's the reasoning of the Rabbanan that they say all loan documents, even a loan document without a lien, is not to be returned if it was found? Answers the Gemara, Savi, the Rabbanan of the opinion. Shmuel explains the Rabbanan of the opinion, Achrayos to'us soferhu, that really every loan document has in it a lien. This loan document didn't say that there is a lien on the property of the borrower. That was just a mistake of the scribe. The scribe forgot to write it in. But any loan document automatically creates a lien. So say if every loan document creates a lien, if you're going to return this document back to the lender, then the buyers might end up losing land. And maybe we're worried that they shouldn't be losing land because maybe the loan was already paid off. Amalei Rava Bar Iti Rav Idi Bar Oven. Rava Bar Iti said to Rav Idi Bar Oven, Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi, is that true that Shmuel's of the opinion that all documents, even if they don't spell out a lien, automatically are creating a lien? Because we say that the lack of spelling out that there is a lien was just a mistake of the scribe. But we know that Shmuel said, Shevach Shvar V'Shipud Saruch Limalech. A scribe who's writing a document of sale has to ask the seller, when you're selling this land, are you obligating your land about this sale? In other words, that if the land that you sold is going to be lost because some person who lent you money is going to come and grab it, you're going to replace what the buyer paid by giving him a different piece of land. And secondly, he has to ask him, when the buyer comes to get back the land that he's going to lose from you, is he also going to get back not just the land, but also the improvement of the land, whatever he paid to improve it? And number three, when he gets reimbursed for the land and the improvement, is he going to get it from Shefer? Is he going to get it from your best land? And if the buyer doesn't agree to that, he says, no, I'm not going to guarantee the land, nor will if I, I'm certainly not going to be paying my best land as part of the guarantee, then the scribe does not write that there's any guarantee in the document. In other words, there are some buyers who, when they sell, some sellers when they sell the land are guaranteeing it, And some sellers are not guaranteeing it. So you need to ask the scribe. The scribe needs to find out what type of a deal is this. Now that seems to be against Shmuel. Because according to Shmuel, even if nothing is written in the document, we assume that it belonged to the document. It was just a mistake of the scribe. But the fact that here we're saying, no, the scribe needs to find out, should he write this in, should he not write it in, meaning that if he didn't write it in, there's going to be significance to not writing it in. That seems to be against what you just said in the name of Shmuel. So the Gemara says, again, so mi amar Shmuel haki, did Shmuel say that whenever a document is written, automatically there is a lien because the scribe, if the lien is not written, we assume that it is there. It's just the scribe who left it out. Farmer Shmuel, but Shmuel said that in terms of buying a piece of land, we who are writing the document need to find out if Shavach, if the seller is guaranteeing to replace the improvement, were the improvement to be lost when the land is lost. Is he guaranteeing to replace it from Shfar, from his best land? Vishibudin, and is there a lien on him? Tzarechli Malach, we need to ask. So that's a problem, because I thought according to Shmuel, even if it's not there, you assume it belongs there. What do we need to ask? If it's going to be there no matter what, you don't need to ask. So Lema Manda Marha Lo Amarha, is it that there are two views of Shmuel? Is it that there's some who claim in the name of Shmuel that liens are always there and it's just a mistake of the scribe if it wasn't written there? And others who claim in the name of Shmuel that if a lien's not there, it's because the scribe asked and he was told, don't put it in, and therefore it's meaningful that the lien is not there.
So the lien is the same as the guarantee, right?
Mortgage. Yeah. It's a mortgage, right?
Yeah, yeah. Answers the Gemara, lo kasha. No, it's not a contradiction. Kan bishtar halva. When did we say that whenever there is a loan document, automatically there is a lien? That's a document about a loan that Reuven borrows from Shimon. So if the document says that Reuven borrowed from Shimon, certainly Reuven's land is obligated to Shimon. If Reuven sells the land, the buyers will lose it to Shimon if Reuven doesn't have money to pay when the loan comes due. Lo yayiv inish zuza bichdi. Because no one is going to give money and take a risk without having a lien. No one's willing to give away his money and risk never getting it back. People who lend money are insisting on a lien. So if a document doesn't have a lien when it's a loan, we assume that it was the mistake of the scribe and it belongs there and there really is a lien. When did Shmuel say that the scribes need to ask, should they put in a lien, implying that if they asked and were told not to put in a lien, and the lien wasn't put in, then there is no lien. That's about a purchase. Because when it comes to a purchase, it could have a purchase of land without a lien on it, and really the seller didn't guarantee, and he's not, you know, obligating his land to repay if this land that's sold now gets lost. Why? Because it is normal for people to take the risk of buying a piece of land, even though they might lose it after a day. Because a person feels, you know, I'll make money out of this one day. When it comes to buying land, it's in their mutual self-interest sometimes to buy, even when it's a purchase that isn't guaranteed. A guy can make a lot of money off of land in one day sometimes, right? Maybe he's going to have a bumper crop that very day that he owns the land. He'll harvest a lot and lose the land. So what? When it comes to a loan, though, it's not that way. You know, you're going to have to pay back the loan eventually. Kiahi, like this story. Davua bar Ihi, the father of Ihi, Zavin Aliyasa Me'achte, he bought a second story, an attic, apartment, a loft, a penthouse, from his sister. So he paid money to his sister to get this apartment, okay? But then Asa Baal Chov, he had a lot of people that he owed money to. So one of the people that he owed money to, she had people that she owed money to. So one of the people that she owed money to came and tar faminei, took away the apartment from him. So I'm sorry, this apartment was hers at the time that I gave her the loan. She has never paid me back the loan. I'm taking the apartment. Asa l'kami d'mar Shmuel. So Avua Bar'i went to the great judge Shmuel. Amar leh, so Shmuel asked him, Kasvala chachrayas, you want to get reimbursed for your money now, which is gone, because you had spent the money for the apartment, but now you lost the apartment. So you want to get your money back. You want to get another piece of land in place of the apartment, in lieu of the apartment. Did she write a guarantee? Did she write that I'm selling you my apartment, and if you lose my apartment, for whatever reason, you'll come back to me, and you'll get the value from some other holding that I have? Amar Leih said, no, my sister didn't give me the guarantee. Amar Leih said, Im kein, if so, zil l'shlama, go for peace. Because when it comes to a sale, then there's only a lien if it was written out. But if it wasn't written out, there is no lien. Amar Leih, so we see that Avua Barui said to Shmuel, but you're the one who taught us in this Mishnah, Maseches Bava Metzia, to explain the view of the sages, that a lien is always in a document. And even if the document doesn't say there is a lien, there is a lien. We say it was a mistake of the scribe who didn't write it in. So here too, my sister did create an obligation to repay and to reimburse if there would be the loss of the apartment. It's not written in the documents. That was a mistake of the scribe. Amar Leih, so Shmuel said, no. Ani mili b'shtari alva. I said, my law, that there's always a lien in a loan document. Aval b'shtari mekach u'memkar. But in a document of sale, lo, there isn't automatically a lien and obligation. The avid inish, the zavid ara lioma. It is normal for a person to buy land, even though there's a chance that he's only going to have the land for one day, as Rashi explains. Because the person thinks, you know, number one, maybe they won't take the land away from me. And number two, even if they do take away the land from me, maybe it's going to be in a while. And I'll have the land, let's say, for 5 months. And for 5 months, I'll be able to get fruits out of the land. I'll plant cucumbers 1 week, and the next week I'll plant tomatoes. I'm going to get a lot out of it. So to have it for 5 months is also worthwhile. I'm going to get usage out of it, and the usage is valuable. So there's no guarantee that there is necessarily going to be a lien and reimbursement. Okay, that completes that discussion. Next discussion. Amar Abaye said, Reuven shemachar sada l'shimon be'achrayos. If Reuven sold a field to Shimon and he guaranteed it, he wrote in the document, Shimon, you know, I have debtors. I have people I owe money to. I have, you know, people I owe money to. If one of them takes away this land from you that I'm selling to you now, you'll come back to me. You'll get reimbursed with some other piece of land that I have. Uva bal chov de Reuven, and then a person who Reuven owed money to, in fact, does come. Vikatar flaming name. He takes away the field from Shimon. Dina hu de azel Reuven mishtoy dina ba'de. Reuven can go and pick up a court case with that debtor and say, you know what, you took the land from Shimon because you said that I owed you money. I really didn't owe you money. I already paid you back, or it was a forgery. You have to come to court with me. Hello, Matzi Amarle, and that lender who had presented himself as being the lender of Reuven can't say back to Reuven, Lav Bal Dvarim Didiat, you know what, my issues are not with you anymore. I already got reimbursed. I got the land. I don't want to deal with you anymore. You can't tell him that. To Amar Leih, because Reuven can say to him, to Mafket Mine, the guy who you got reimbursed from, Eli Didi Hadar, is coming back to complain to me, and he's going to go get another piece of land from me, because I guaranteed it. So you are my Baal Dvarim. Ikud Ami, another version. Afilu Shalo Bachrayis Nami. Reuven sells a piece of land to Shimon, and he does not guarantee to reimburse Shimon if Shimon's going to lose the land for whatever reason because of Reuven's actions, and Shimon does lose the land, Reuven can still go to the guy who took the land from Shimon and fight with him. And that guy can't say, hey, I don't have any issues with you. I already got reimbursed. I don't need to deal with you. Amar Leih, because Reuven can say, you know, you do have issues with me. So why do I bother you? You're scot-free. I'm not asking any money from you. And the guy who you sold to can't ask from you because you never guaranteed that you would pay him back. So I'm a lay, because Reuven can say, lo nichali, I don't like the idea that lehevi l'shimon tarom es alai, that Shimon's going to have a rightful claim against me, that Shimon's going to be upset with me, that here he bought land from me, and then I caused him to lose the land because of my earlier dealings with you, with my lender, and he's going to be upset. And here he got involved, and he lost money because he bought land, and he lost land, and he can't get reimbursed. I don't want him to be upset. So because I don't want him to be upset, this is my fight. If it's my fight, you need to deal with me in court. Yeah.
So if it's no achrayut, why you can come to it?
He doesn't want it to be mad at him. He doesn't want the buyer to be upset with him. And he has a right to say, you have to deal with me because this is my problem, because now, because of what you did, the buyer is upset with me.
That's Reuven.
Yeah.
The original
seller. Yep. Responsible.
What's that?
He's responsible.
Yeah, he says, I'm still responsible. It's my deal.
But Rabbi, in the real world today, you know, they have to foreclose and go through the whole thing that we all know.
Right.
How about in the Jewish court? How does it work? You know, when you go to the business between borrower and lender. I mean, immediately in court, you know, the business is going to transfer the property to the
It'll certainly be faster than the non-Jewish courts. That's for sure.
It is faster.
Much faster. Much faster.
They don't give them any time to cure it and come up with the money or whatever? Or
I don't know exactly in which Bezdin, but it moves quickly.
V'yamer
Abaye and Abaye taught, Reuven shemachar sada l'Shimon shelo b'achrayus. Reuven sold the field to Shimon and he did not guarantee it. So that, in other words, he said, you're buying the field from me, but you're taking a risk. If for whatever reason the field's going to be lost because I owe money to people, you can't come back and try to get reimbursed from me. V'yatzu alea asikin, and now there are all sorts of claims about the field. There are all sorts of claims that, you know, really Reuven owes money to people and they want the field. So Achlo Hichzik Bav, Shimon hasn't yet done an act of acquisition. He hasn't done a chazak on the field. Yachalavzerbo. You can say, you know what, I'm out of the deal. I don't want to get involved in the deal because I might get the field and then lose it. However, Misha Hichzik Bav, once he did an act of chazaka, an act of acquisition, so you know, Yachalavzerbo. So that's it. He can't change his mind. He can't say, you know what, you give me back the money. Because the seller tells him, I told you I'm not guaranteeing. So what does that mean? I was telling you, Chayasa de Katra. I'm telling you that I'm selling you a bag, you know, a closed bag or a bag filled with knots. You know, it's a full bag. We don't know what's in the bag. I sold you a bag. Sabit for Kiblet. You accepted it. You took that risk. You got a lower price. It was probably at a lower price because there was no guarantee. So fine. But that was the risk you took. In fact, now there are problems. It's too late. Sometimes. But it's not really, because he has to first say, I'm not guaranteeing, right? Normally, you would guarantee. Meima sayavi chazaka, what's an act of acquisition? Mechidaya shamitzra. Once he fixes the edges, the borders of the field. Ikadami, others say, afilu b'achrayus nami. Even if Reuven sold the field with a guarantee, and Shimon now comes, and now there's a claim about the field. Still, even though there was a guarantee that if they would take the field, he would repay, if now they're coming with claims, he still can tell them, I'm sorry, you need to hold on to it. Because he can say, Ach vitarfach, once you show me that it was actually seized from you, then the guarantee is triggered, v'ashalim lach, and I'll pay you. But till it hasn't been taken from you, so, I'm sorry, there are claims, all right, it's complicated, but that doesn't mean I need to reverse the deal yet. Itmar, we learned. Hamochas ad l'chaveiro, let's say Reuven sells a field to his friend, v'nimtza she'eino shelo, and it turns out that it didn't belong to Reuven to sell it. It wasn't Reuven's, it was stolen. And so now the person who is the victim of the theft comes and is claiming back the field. Rava, my Rav says, Yesh Lomos, the buyer can go back to the seller and say, you need to give me back the money I gave you for the field. Yesh Lo Shevach, and he can say, you also need to give me back all the improvements that I did to the field. Based on, I thought it was my field, I was improving it, it was worth now even more than what it was when I bought it. You need to give me back that too. Shmuel, Amar Shmuel says, no. Mos, Yesh Lo, the buyer gets his money back, because really the seller had no right to sell. But Shevach Einlo. But the seller doesn't have to give him the improvements, whatever he improved the field.
But if he lost the money and he had no money to give him, what happens? He becomes a slave?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yes.
We learn that his problem of Shimon, if he didn't check that the land is free and clear, that's his problem. Why should he come back and ask? That's what we learned. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, we didn't see that.
No, we didn't.
This is about, till now we were talking about where a lender comes and takes the field. Here, the guy who sold it had no right to sell it. It wasn't his. It wasn't even his to sell.
But
does Shmuel, can Shmuel go back to the rightful owner and demand compensation for him improving his land?
That's a good question, right? That's good. It's a good question. Let's see. So, bo minei Rav Huna. They asked the question of Rav Huna. Pireish lo es hashavach mahu. What would be the halacha if the seller explicitly said that he will reimburse the buyer if the buyer loses the field, and he will reimburse the buyer for improvement if the field is taken from the buyer? In other words, taima de Shmuel mishum de lo pirish vacha. When Shmuel says that the buyer doesn't get any money back for his improvement, that's because that had never been explicitly said in the deal. But here it was said. Or maybe time of the Shmuel came in the less lay karka. The reasoning of Shmuel is another interesting halacha. Since the buyer ends up without any of the land, right? Because the land really wasn't the seller's to sell. So it turns out there never was a sale. So mevzi karibis. It looks like this is interest. Because here the buyer gave money for a field. Then the field is taken away. This was never sold. They had no right to sell. So what happens? He gets his money back. Because there was never a sale. So basically he gave money, gets money back, and now he gets extra money. It looks like interest.
But the money was spent on the improvement.
It's true. Money was spent on the improvement, but it looks like interest. Nobody knows of that. Nobody thinks of that. To the eyes of the onlooker, it looks like interest. Money went out. Money comes back. You can't say it was a sale because there was no real sale here. There was nothing to sell. It was money was given to one guy. That guy gave back the money. Plus, he gives more money. Looks like interest. Looks like he has to pay. He's been paying interest for having money. It mezzi kiribis. Amar lei. So he said to him, yes, if it was explicit, he would pay for the improvement. Said, no, even if it's explicit, he wouldn't pay for the improvement because it looks like interest. Rafi Biyadi, he wasn't sure. Itmar, we learned. Am Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, if a person bought a field and improved it, and then a victim comes and says, sorry, you never had a right to buy the field, it was a stolen field. Mos Yeshlo, the person who had bought the field gets his money back. Shavach Einlo, he does not get money for the improvements that he made to the field. V'yafalpi Shapirishlo es haShavach, and even though the seller, when he sold him the field, said, I'm guaranteeing the field and I'll guarantee also whatever improvement you make, I'll pay for it. He doesn't pay. My time, why? Because we just said, Kevin the Karka Einlo. Since he doesn't end up holding on to the money, so it looks like interest. It looks like he's getting reward for his money. That he lent money, and he's getting back money plus more. It looks like he's being rewarded for letting somebody else use the money. It looks like interest, and therefore, Shmuel says he doesn't get the improvement back.
The improvements on the field will be more visible than the details of the transaction. I find it odd.
No, because the field is taken back by the rightful owner.
I understand, but the field has been improved. The improvements are visible.
The improvements are visible improvements, but no one knows of those improvements. As far as people see, there was no sale. People are people know halacha. They know that the sale was nothing because it was stolen goods. So it was just money went to one guy. The guy gave back the money. Plus he gave more. Looks like interest.
Yeah, Robert, he sold my field. I wasn't home. He sold my field
right
to Roger. Roger then went and built a house on my field.
Right.
Okay. I come along and say, wait a minute.
Give me back my
stuff. Give me back my field. That's the, you didn't have a right to sell it.
You get the house,
I get the house that he just built for me.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Were the court cases public, Rabbi? Is that it?
Maybe. People spoke about it. People talked about it.
I don't want to come into the kibbutz.
Everybody knew everybody else's business, unfortunately.
Baruch should pay a penalty.
Baruch looks away, nothing. It's
a thief.
To me.
That there's not a real thief, right? Because he didn't pick up and move the object.
He sold
my property.
Esve Rava Rav Nachman. Rava challenged this law of Rav Nachman. We learned in a Mishnah in Gittin. Ein Motzien la'achilas peiros. We don't take away a field to pay for consuming fruits. Ulashevach karkaos, or for the improvement of a field. Ulamazon ishava abanos, or for food for a wife and children. Minachasim mishubadim, from buyers who bought fields. Mipnei tikkun olam, because we want to fix the world. In other words, if we want to make sure people will still be buying fields, and these are expenses that could be huge, and people don't know about them, so they won't even want to go buy fields, because they'll say, I might lose a field, so some, huge expense. So what do you see here, though? Mimashabdu de lo mafkinim. We don't take the money from the buyers of the fields. Hamibnei chorin mafkinan. But from the original, from the unencumbered lands, we do take. V'katanimia, one of the things listed here is shvach karkos, improvement of a field, you do get money back. So my lav elokeach migazan. What's the case of improvement of a field? A guy bought a field, really had no right to buy it, because really it was a stolen field, and he improved it, so he should get money back for the improvement. So Gemara says, no, that's not the case. The case is bebal chov, where a person had lent money, and he goes to a buyer, and he takes the field for the loan that he had extended, and then he improves it. So Gemara says, Iba bal chov, if we're talking about a lender who takes field from the buyer, Ema Resha, but look at the beginning, it says, En motzi en lachilos peros, we don't make the lands go to pay for the fruit. Iba bal chov miyisle pera, if a person takes a field because of a loan, is he entitled even to the fruits? V'amar Shmuel Balchov gove es ha-shevach, the lender can take the improved field. Shevach, and he can take the improved field of a peiros, but not the fruits. El pshita begoz of an exal. So must be we're talking about a case of theft. Umidereisha begoz of an exal, seif anami begoz of an exal. Since the first part of the mission is about a thief, the end is also. So says, no, me the iria who says, Akadisa, Akadisa. The first part is about a thief. The second part is about a lender. Borrower. A lender.